You're listening to The Voice of Russia with me, Howell Davis. Tax. Usually it's a subject that's greeted with yawns and eyes glazing over. But in Britain over the last month, the topic of who should pay tax and at what rates has been argued long and loud up and down the country. That's been sparked by revelations that rich individuals, most famously comedian Jimmy Carr, have been paying taxes at very low levels. Some have argued that what he did was entirely legal and so justified. Others say Britain's rich and many large corporations have become adept at avoiding taxes ordinary citizens have to pay. Joining me now in the studio is Len Shackleton, fellow at the Institute of Economic Affairs and professor of economics at the University of Buckingham. Warren Hyams, director of WLH Tax, which advises people being investigated by the taxman. And Robert Oakesley, campaign manager for the Taxpayers Alliance, which is calling for a flat rate of tax. And down the line, we have Nick Dearden, director of the Jubilee Debt Campaign, which has been vocal in calling for government to clamp down on tax evasion. So if I might start with you, Nick, what Jimmy Carr did was entirely legal. Therefore, the Prime Minister perhaps was wrong to criticise him.
Well, I think it's right to criticise him, but I think I'm not sure the Prime Minister is the best person to do it, because actually, if he wanted to do something about this situation, he could change the law to make this kind of thing more difficult. Actually, what the government's done, for example, through its cuts agenda, is get rid of some of the members of staff at Her Majesty's Customs and Revenues, the tax office here, who were actually pursuing this kind of tax avoidance. What we needed to do was to bolster their ability to do this. And, I mean, there's many, many other policies and pieces of legislation that need to be pursued, which could really help us in closing down tax loopholes, in closing down tax havens, and bringing into the economy billions and billions of dollars. And that's something which affects not only people here in the UK, but people right around the world, in the developing world, where my organisation is especially interested in.
Warren Hyams, so Jimmy Carr, do you think he was justified in not paying the tax? He was doing it all above board and therefore he was following the letter of the law?
I fully understand why there's such widespread disapproval of tax avoidance schemes and structures, as the average person in the street who pays tax under pay-as-you-earn doesn't have the scope to participate in these arrangements. However, I do want to stress that tax avoidance isn't illegal. And often there's no distinction in the press between evasion and avoidance. All taxpayers who participate in a tax avoidance scheme are being fully transparent with HMRC. They disclose the scheme on the tax return and via a DOTAS number, registration reference. So there's nothing underhand going on. They're being fully transparent.
No, but there's a difference being underhand and being immoral, isn't there? And this, when there's people on PAYE having to pay at sort of vastly higher rates, what can we do about this? I mean, why should Jimmy Carr be paying at 1% when we're all paying at 30, 40%?
I don't believe we can take a moral view on tax avoidance, as everyone has a different moral compass. So we don't have the same opinion. I personally wouldn't participate in any sort of avoidance scheme which resulted in only 1% tax being payable. However, you know, some people don't buy shares in tobacco companies on a moral basis. However, others do. That doesn't make it wrong.
Len Shackleton, what do you think about this? Do you think it's a moral issue or not?
I think there's a huge amount of hypocrisy about this. Sure, most people on pay-as-you-earn are not in a position to engage in this kind of tax avoidance. But on the other hand, who hasn't paid builders cash in hand or brought in, booze from the continent or whatever it may be? I think we all pay too much tax. And, the way to resolve this kind of thing ultimately, I think, is to bring the tax level down rather than, create... these kind of witch hunts against individuals like Jimmy Carr. I think it was disgraceful, actually, the Prime Minister to pick on an individual to monster him in this kind of way.
And Robert Oakesley, you've also argued for a much lower rate of tax, haven't you?
Well, I think what we're seeing today is questions about the legitimacy of Britain's tax system. When we go into Jimmy Carr, I wouldn't actually go to say straight away that it is legal. There are experts around here, but many people have said it's a grey area because he was effectively declaring something as a loan when it wasn't a loan, and we all know that it wasn't a loan. But the point here is what are we actually going to do about this situation? Are we going to moralise about tax, or are we actually going to introduce a system which actually closes down these questions? Because the problem is that ordinary people who pay by PAYE, You know, they don't have a choice. They don't have a chance to reduce their tax bill. But those who are rich enough, who have the clever accountants, can do so. And that isn't the fault of those people who are earning that much. It's the fault of the tax system, because the tax system creates these loopholes. And so it means that rather than actually taxing income simply and on one occasion, we try and dot it around so people are able to weave their way around the system. But there's also the point that ultimately, if we want to actually have a simpler, fairer tax system, we need to reform it, because if not, we are going to have these questions over and over again. And so to restore some faith into the tax system, let's actually look at the root cause rather than actually just trying to pick out individual examples, making a headline. But let's be honest, you know, in a couple of weeks' time, the news agenda will have moved on and we won't actually have a better tax system for it.
But the Taxpayers Alliance is asking for a flat rate of tax.
Exactly. Well, if you are going to put forward tax reform has to go hand in hand with tax cuts. We saw in the last budget an example of what happens when you try to reform the tax system without actually lowering the overall burden of the tax system. Britain at the moment is overtaxed, and that's why one of the reasons our economy is stifling. It's one of the reasons we called for the Chancellor to reform the tax system.
Well, this is a slightly different issue and different argument, isn't it? You can make an argument that economies that have been much heavier taxed than we are at the moment, say in the 60s in Britain, in the 60s in the United States, they were growing at far higher rates than we've grown at in the last 10 years. The idea that tax is the thing that brings things out is more controversial than you say.
It is controversial, but the research from the IEA, from the CPS, and from the Taxpayers Alliance in our 2020 Tax Commission all show that economies with a lower tax burden actually do better. They are more productive. That's why you had David Laws, the former Treasury Minister, coming out and calling for a cut to 35%. It's why we have at the moment our tax burden is
48%. But hang on, sorry, the historical record contradicts you. If we have higher growth in periods of higher taxation in the 60s, then it's not black and white, is it?
I'm sorry, the research has shown that when you lower taxes, you get economic growth.
The 1960s, we have top rates of taxes of 90%, and we have much higher rates of growth.
Look at the basket case that Britain economy became in the decades following that. The point is that if we are going to put forward tax reform, you have to cut taxes at the same time, because otherwise you get stuff like pasty tax, you get the granny tax, you get all these issues where the government have been forced into a U-turn because they tried to reform the tax system, and they might have even had, you know, realistic, enviable goals. But the fact is they did it, and ultimately they increased the tax burden on people. So if you're going to reform the tax system, that also implicitly implies that you have to bring in tax cuts as well.
What do you make of this? Nick Dearden from the Jubilee Debt Campaign. What do you make of that argument?
I certainly think we need that the answer is a legal solution here, but I would totally disagree that what we need to do is institute a flatter rate of tax. In fact, one of the biggest problems in the world today that's acknowledged by just about everybody, including unexpected quarters like the International Monetary Fund and the Financial Times, is that we have too much inequality in the world and in the West. Our economy has been driven to the point of the abyss and by the fact that we have huge rates of inequality, and part of this is connected with the fact that the super rich barely pay any tax at all, and ordinary people actually pay more in tax than the super rich. So we need to do something about this. There is much research out there that shows that more equal societies actually have higher levels of growth and also higher levels of happiness and contentment with work and that kind of thing, and are actually more environmentally friendly, more willing to give to charity and that kind of thing. Equality is a really important principle that our society has completely lost sight of. And we need to, first of all, clamp down on those who are not paying taxes at the rate they're supposed to be paying taxes. But that isn't enough. We actually need a far, far more progressive taxation system. So those who have done extremely well out of the footloose financial system that we're seeing the fallout of this week again, with the Barclays manipulating the LIBOR rate, that financial system that's come to have an enormous dominance over everybody's life, those institutions and individuals who work in them need to pay far, far more tax to restore a more equal and balanced economy.
You're listening to The Voice of Russia, and we're discussing tax and tax avoidance. With me is Len Shackleton, fellow at the Institute of Economic Affairs and professor of economics at the University of Buckingham. I'm also joined by Warren Hyams, director of WLH Tax, which advises people being investigated by the taxman, Robin Oxley, campaign manager for the Taxpayers Alliance, which is calling for a flat rate of tax, and down the line we have Nick Dearden, director of the Jubilee Debt Campaign. Len Shackleton, we need a reformed tax rate where everyone pays sort of higher taxes, and that will make the economy work better.
Well, I'm afraid I find it very difficult to agree with that position. The argument that inequality deters growth in some ways, I think based on very dubious reading of statistics, and I'm thinking here of the book The Spirit Level, which has been highly influential and I think is completely wrong-headed about this. Of course, inequality is an issue, but I think what we're concerned about ultimately is the living standards of the poorest in the country. And this is not helped by having a tax system which is just chasing after. Look, we already, top earners, the top 1% of income tax payers already account for 27% of all income tax raised. Indirectly, they account for a large proportion of corporation tax, of course, which is taken before dividends, most of which go to the richer people and so on. They pay indirectly a larger chunk of VAT and excise than the rest of the population. We're already taking a lot of money from the people at the top of the system. These people can go elsewhere. If you look at what happens when you put up tax rates, there's been, the government put out this paper last year on the effect of the 50p marginal rate of tax, and it finds that quite a lot of the expected gain from this, which at the time was I think 6.5 billion, hasn't arisen at all because people can migrate. They can retire. They can switch from being employed to being self-employed. They can, of course, move into evasion and to avoidance schemes of the kind which we were discussing before. But the idea that if you simply squeeze the rich harder, there's some kind of pot of gold there which will solve all our problems is nonsense.
Warren Himes, is that what you find with your clients who are looking for advice on their tax affairs? If they find with things like the 50p tax rate, if they think that they're not being treated fairly, then they'll find ways around it or they'll think about moving abroad.
I clearly believe there's a connection between people participating in avoidance and even going as far as evasion and the higher rates of tax. You know, currently we've got a 45% tax rate, which was reduced from 50%. And there is even a rate, which is effectively 62% when you take into account national insurance between 100 and 115,000. And I think Len will probably agree with me that there's a sort of well-known economic hypothesis of the Laffer curve, that the higher taxes are, more people turn to evasion and avoidance. And actually the tax take comes down. Rather than actually increasing the amount you collect, it goes down because people turn towards evasion and avoidance.
But it is historically, for post-war standards, it is pretty low at the moment, 45%. Are these people who are very rich being extremely greedy, or are they just sort of behaving legitimately, do you think?
If it's avoidance, they're clearly acting legitimately. You know, they haven't done anything illegal. They often take advice from counsel and tax barristers. And, if it's proved that they've acted within the current legislation, they haven't done anything wrong.
At the moment, we've got 2006, the last time figures were available. Income tax paid by the 54 billionaires resident of the UK, 14.7 billion million was paid, and James Dyson contributed 9 million out of that 14 million. So for most of the billionaires who are resident of this country, there is no such thing as income tax, really.
You know, it's difficult. One doesn't know the tax position of these people. Are they being taxed abroad? You know, what is the position there? But they spend money in this country, which is taxed on VAT, excise, and all, you know, they provide employment for people and so on. So, I mean, just to focus on the amount of tax they're paying from an economic point of view, I think is too narrow.
Nick Dearden, the problem with the rich is that if we tax them too highly, they'll just go abroad or they'll find ways around it.
Well, I don't think that's actually been shown in history. Of course, some people will go abroad, but I mean the point is that London is a centre of all sorts of culture, politics, and business, and many people are here because it's London and because it's also because it's part of Europe. So I don't think that this is necessarily the case, even though I'm sure some people would go abroad. But at the end of the day, I think it's better to live in a society where there is not such huge gaping inequality between the rich and the poor, and we don't have a society which is held to ransom by a group of people who work in the city. I mean, actually, if they're going to go abroad, let them go abroad, because I would prefer to work and live in a society society which is more democratic, more equal, more caring about its citizens, and where people feel they actually have some kind of responsibility to other people in their society, where we have decent public services and so on.
Pay for those decent public services. You know, you need those people who are earning that income. You know, no one ever taxed themselves into prosperity, and it's not better to be all poor together while a few people head off. Those with large disposable incomes can move their incomes around. That's one of the reasons why
We can stop that by closing down tax havens. This is just propaganda from the financial sector. There's nothing we can do about this. We have done things about this in the past, and we have lived in a much more equal and contented society as a result of that.
If you would let me finish, what I would say is that the reform to actually ensure that we're talking about the millionaires and the billionaires and their taxes, the fact that they can move their income around. They can move it from corporate, they can move it from share dividends to loans, to rent on capital income. There are lots of ways that they can move their tax around. And because our tax system tries to hit all these different streams of income with various different taxes, it fails because they have the accountants to move them around. So let's have a simpler tax which captures all of that. But it's also like, you know, we couldn't get an agreement on climate change and environment. Why do you think you're ever going to get an agreement on tax havens when there is a distinct reward for those countries who do actually provide that service? You are not going to catch these guys by going off to a different country. What you want to do is make our tax system attractive so it is fair to everybody. And that means also taking the poorest out of tax, because you're not going to lift people out and increase their incomes by taxing other people more. What you're going to do is the way to make it work for them is to ensure that work pays, and that those on minimum wage aren't paying tax, that they are lifted out of it, because that's the way that you really actually help the poorest in society.
Do you want to come back to us on that, Nick?
Well, I mean, I just think it's incredible if you look at the levels in our society, the levels of inequality, the amount. I mean, this is already happening, that people are moving their money all around the world, moving it into different asset divisions, moving it into the London housing market. You know, one of the big problems is when you leave huge amounts of money in the pockets of the super rich, they don't spend it productively, actually. They don't invest in productive businesses. They invest in derivatives, which is why the main way that people can make money in the world today is by gambling and by rent activity, by pouring it into the London housing market, which prices people out of housing. It isn't good for ordinary people to live in a kind of society where people earn those huge amounts of money. It doesn't make for a good society. And I think we've seen that now. The system is eating itself because it cannot sustain this level of inequality. And even those organizations desperate to sustain the system, such as the Financial Times, have written excellent reports and essays saying it simply cannot go on like this.
You're listening to The Voice of Russia with me, Howell Davis, and today we're discussing tax and tax avoidance. With me is Len Shackleton, fellow at the Institute of Economic Affairs and professor of economics at the University of Buckingham. We're also joined by Warren Hyams, director of WLH Tax, which advises people being investigated by the tax man. Robert Oxley, campaign manager for the Taxpayers Alliance, which is calling for a flat rate of income tax. And down the line, we have Nick Dearden, director of the Jubilee Debt Campaign. Len Shackleton, do you think that inequality is a bad in itself?
I think inequality is something which people need to think about really rather more carefully. Most of the measures we have of it are statistical artifacts which can produce very bizarre results. For example, the child poverty score, which we saw last year, actually fell not because people were better off at the bottom, but because wages had fallen, and therefore the median income had fallen, and this took.
But one statistical anomaly is not a good reason to write off the whole idea of fighting inequality, surely?
No, but once you start focusing on inequality, you have to ask what it is you're concerned about. I personally could not give a monkeys about people who are super rich. What I think we have a legitimate concern for is people at the bottom of the income distribution and what can be done about them. One of the things which can be done is to reduce the burden of taxation and national insurance and so forth on those at the bottom of the heap. Rather than chasing this pot of gold, as I was saying before, that you believe that you will get from the super rich, who are in fact super mobile, and will be gone with the wind.
Okay, so perhaps we should now sort of move away. We talk about individuals. Is there also a problem, Robert, with company tax in this country? What we seem to have is places like Google that have changed their residency and through bizarre accounting manoeuvres like doing what's called a double Irish are now paying almost no tax in this country in form of corporate tax. Anyway, the national insurance they're paying, admittedly. But in things like corporate tax, so these large companies are, in a way, dodging tax.
Well, I think, firstly, look, when we have this debate, the biggest problem we have in this country when talking about companies and their tax bills is that we start overestimating the figures. You'll hear the global tax take for Vodafone quoted, but applied to just one economy. But yes, many people in this country will feel that they want the businesses at the top to be paying what they would consider a fair rate of tax. But the point is that, the kind of measures that are proposed and the answers and the rhetoric that comes out of the people arguing the point, saying, this would pay off all our public sector debts, is they overinflate these statistics, and the kind of policies that propose would simply drive business away from this country. So having a more attractive tax system that encourages growth, that by lowering corporation tax in the same way that Ireland has done, because that's why all these dot-coms have gone across to Ireland, is they cut their they cut their corporation tax bill. They made the country more attractive to those companies who are a global, they are a global brand and they can move around. So we have to make this country more attractive, and part of that is reforming the tax system. And yes, there are issues to tackle. I think Vodafone has serious questions to answer about the relationships that it had with HMRC over the way it did its tax, over the way it managed its tax affairs. And I think it's important that we do have transparency in those issues, because that will create a general feeling that, these big companies can avoid tax. And that isn't healthy for our debate, and it undermines the legitimacy of our tax system. But let's have a rational debate about how we encourage these companies to remain in the country.
Warren Himes, there has been talk that HMRC has been reaching sweetheart deals with companies. Do you have any evidence that it's now sort of cracking down more on corporate tax evasion?
HMRC Specialist Investigation Department are actively targeting large corporates and avoidance schemes. So, I don't believe that any large company are getting away with what they shouldn't be paying. HMRC are actively pursuing all corporates and individual taxpayers to try and recover whatever tax they feel is due. I do agree that if HMRC have entered into an arrangement where a particular investment bank hasn't had to pay interest on overdue tax, that is totally unacceptable, because HMRC have stated that all taxpayers should be treated equally.
And you deal with HMRC all the time, I presume. And so have you noticed any change in atmosphere, sort of a desire to go after corporate taxpayers more often now?
I think the desire has always been there. HMRC believe that if a corporate has participated in a structure that has led to a tax loss, they would pursue them.
And the point is that HMRC struggle with some of these schemes, because they are administering such a complex and burdensome system, a system that has so many loopholes. So when they are chasing arrangements such as Jimmy Carr's, they don't have the time to really chase over what we would consider tax evasion, not tax avoidance, because they spend their life trying to administer a system which simply isn't fit for purpose and is the result of decades of tinkering from every chancellor, from every political party.
Len Shackle, do you also agree, as you did on the sort of individual tax rate, that we need to reduce tax and simplify as well, just like Robert's been talking?
Oh, absolutely. We have the most complicated tax code in the world. It's unbelievable. 11,000 pages or something like that.
11,520 pages long, I'm told.
Well, thank you for that correction. But certainly something of that order of magnitude. And it is a very, very complicated system. And, I have some sympathy for the Taxpayers Alliance position on this. A flat tax, it sounds like it's unfair because people are paying. But what we talk about is people paying the same rate, of course. We're not talking about the same absolute level.
They're paying proportionally.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the criticisms of flat rates is that, especially in America, they've been suggested at levels that would make sure that people at the top are actually paying less. Presumably that depends on what rate you choose. The Taxpayers Alliance, what sort of level are you thinking of?
Well, what we have argued is that one of the things that you should also do is that you should combine national insurance, because you have national insurance. Most people, you ask the average person on the street today, they won't know what tax they'll pay. They don't know that obviously we pay 20% basic, but most of it, you then pay 12% in national insurance. So it's 32% is the basic rate that most people are paying. We have argued that it should be 30%, and that, you know, that, but also massively increase the personal allowance to ensure those, you know, those at the poorest, those who are earning the least at the moment, that they are taken out of tax altogether. Because what we don't benefit people is by taking money off them, putting it through the cogs of bureaucracy, you know, where money goes from one side to another, and then giving it to them in handouts and tax credits. Simply take less money off people and leave it in their pockets, because we all know that individuals are much better judges of how they spend their money than some kind of bureaucratic behemoth, which is what we currently have.
But that's a political question, isn't it? What you're saying there is that government doesn't know how to spend money as well as individuals. That's more to do with that's decided by how people vote in general elections, surely.
Well, I think
you're making an ideological judgment there, not a tax judgment.
I think you just have to look at the constant examples that we have of inefficiency and waste in Whitehall for the examples that.
But individuals waste money as well. You know, I wasted money there.
It's, but when you are spending your own money, you are far better at the way you spend it, and you know, make far more sensible choices than when a government bureaucrat, faceless bureaucrat, who doesn't get held to account of the decisions they make when they're choosing. Now, no one is arguing that we shouldn't have a government and we shouldn't pay money, but let's actually have it at a reasonable level, which boosts the economy and also allows people, you know, especially those, because I agree, there is a problem with inequality, what we were saying earlier, but the point is we're not denying there's a problem with inequality. The argument is, what is the answer to that?
Nick, can you still hear me then? Nick Dearden?
Yeah, I mean, I think you just need to compare the different health systems, the one that we have here in the UK and the one in the United States, here where the government decides how the money is going to be spent and takes it off people and creates a service which is free and relatively efficient, and the one in the United States which costs more money is completely inefficient, and where significant numbers of people, especially the poorest, are priced out of that health system. And I know which society I would rather live in, so I don't buy at all this idea that every individual making their own choice will create a better and happier place to live. But I mean, you know, it's not just about what goes on in this part of the world. I mean, part of the problem with this corporate tax avoidance that you're talking about is that it robs developing world countries of billions of dollars every year when companies go in and do business and mine minerals or whatever they do, grow agricultural products for export, and the country, which is desperately in need of revenue, is absolutely unable to collect a reasonable amount of tax for selling those resources, because the company is based in a tax haven and actually pays its taxes at a much lower rate in that tax haven. In other words, it can't be solved in one country. We actually need to look at the way that regulations and laws have grown up over the last 30 years, this period of globalization, and how that has robbed governments of their ability to take taxes off people who come and do business in their country, off their own elites and super riches, and the people who've really suffered are millions, billions of ordinary people across the world who don't have decent services, don't have an ability to be educated, don't have a decent health.
Just a final word then from Len Shackleton. How would you answer that? Sort of, we need to have some sort of global agreement to fight globalisation the same way that's worked.
Well, I don't think we should fight globalisation. Globalisation has actually reduced inequality on the world scale by, within particular countries, the picture may be different. But looking at the world as a whole, inequality has narrowed over the last 30 years. And that's the result of people being free to trade and being a reduction in the kind of regulations and controls over their activity.
Okay, that's all we've got time for. You've been listening to The Voice of Russia, and we've been discussing tax and tax avoidance. And thank you to my guests, Len Shackleton, fellow at the Institute of Economic Affairs and professor of economics at the University of Buckingham, Warren Hyams, director of WLH Tax, which advises people being investigated by the taxman, Robin Oxley of the Taxpayers Alliance, and down the line we had Nick Dearden, director of the Jubilee Debt Campaign. Thank you all very much indeed.